Moscow. I had expected some snow, Jordan said as the sleek black sedan purred almost silently into the city along the special highway lane reserved for government vehicles. Snow will come, said Dmitry Kalnikov, their Russian host in accentless English. We will have a white Christmas, I assure you. But it's already December. Global warming, said Kalnikov with a smile. While you English worry about rising sea levels drowning you, we Russians enjoy a milder climate. Khrushchev's old idea of cultivating virgin lands in Siberia has come true. Russia is now the world's leading exporter of grains. Jordan nodded, understanding. It's an ill wind that blows no good. Kalnikov nodded back. He was a short, stocky man, bundled into a black fur-trimmed overcoat. His glistening bald head was uncovered, though, and the coat was unbuttoned. His face was round, jowly, with a snub of a nose and thick lips that seemed curled into a perpetual smile. But his pale blue eyes were icy cold. To Aditi, sitting beside Jordan, Kalnikov said, We have arranged a suite for you in the best hotel in Moscow, right next to Red Square and the Kremlin. And the others? She asked, meaning Matrenko and his two female companions, plus Cree and the trio of unicorn agents the Russians had allowed to enter their country. Same hotel, different floor. They will be quite comfortable, I assure you. That's good, said Jordan. Tomorrow you address the Duma, Kalnikov told Jordan. But tonight you dine with the president of all the Russias and a small group of his closest advisers. They are very eager to meet you. Jordan understood the message behind his words. The head of government wants to see me face to face and hear what I have to say. Vladimir Balakirev was the Russian president, a career bureaucrat who had slowly, patiently worked his way to the top of the government. Despite his years, he looked youthful, vigorous, thanks to rejuvenation therapies. His full head of hair was dark brown, his face lean and angular, his body trim. He wore lifts in his heels, though, and always sat in a chair that was a few centimeters higher than those around him. Driving his slow progress through the Kremlin was an insatiable ego. I know you have just arrived in Moscow, Balakirev said to Jordan, seated beside him at the big circular table. You must stay long enough to allow me to show you and your lovely wife the city. Jordan interpreted mentally. He wants to be seen in public with us. I'd be happy to, Jordan replied. Aditi would especially appreciate a chance to see the ballet. Of course, tomorrow night after your address to the Duma. One of the men halfway around the table moved his lips, making reservations for us, Jordan realized. There were several toasts before dinner was served. Toasts to interstellar friendship, to peace and understanding, to a glorious future. Jordan, aware of Russian drinking habits, had fortified himself with a thick slab of butter before starting out to the Kremlin. Coat the stomach, he told Aditi, remembering his old days as a diplomat, helps you from getting drunk. After the vodka came the food. Caviar from the Caspian Sea, reclaimed from pollution that had nearly poisoned the sturgeon into extinction. Blood-red borscht, grilled caribou steaks. As dessert was being served in delicate glass dishes, Balakirev asked very casually, So you want us to build starships and save alien civilizations? Jordan put down the gold spoon that had been halfway to his mouth. I think it's important, he said. It's a moral imperative. Let me tell you about moral imperatives, Balakirev said. For more than 100 years, Russia fought a war against Islamic extremists, a war that we eventually won. Not because we slaughtered our enemies, but because we showed them that we would not allow them to change our way of life.
Many were killed on both sides, said one of the men across the table.
But we persevered, Balakirev continued, waving a stumpy finger in the air. Year after year, decade after decade, we showed the people of the Islamic states on our southern border that they could live as they wished, but they could never subdue the Russian people. That was a moral imperative.
Jordan dipped his chin in acknowledgement. Yes, I suppose it was. Balakirev's stern expression relaxed into a guarded smile.
Now you want to save alien races on distant worlds,
as a moral imperative. His smile widening, the Russian president said, "That's the way the Jesuits felt about the Aztecs, and the Incas, and the Chinese, and so many other civilizations that the West emasculated."
"We've come a long way since then," Jordan countered. "We're going to these worlds to save them from extinction, not to colonize them."
Balakirev's dark eyebrows rose.
"Still the question remains, why should we go to the expense of trying to save people we know nothing about?"
"Because we know they exist," Jordan replied, "and that they will be wiped out unless we help them."
"But what's in it for us?" asked Kalnikov, sitting on the president's other side.
"Why should we go to the expense?"
"The expense is trivial," Jordan snapped. "You spend more on vodka each year."
"Ah, but vodka is important," said one of the men halfway around the table.
Everyone laughed. Jordan made himself laugh, too. But then he said, "It would be criminal if we just sat by and let those other worlds die."
"Criminal?" Balakirev challenged. "You are a judge now?"
"I am a human being, and I believe it would be inhuman to allow whole civilizations to be wiped out when we have the means to help them."
Balakirev reached out and patted Jordan on the shoulder.
"Yes, yes, perhaps so."
He was testing me, Jordan realized. Taking in a calming breath, he added,
"Besides, the starship building program could provide many jobs for your best and brightest scientists and engineers." "So there is profit to be made for Russia?"
"I can't imagine the starship program going forward without Russian participation. After all, it was Russians who made humankind's first steps into space."
"That was long ago," said Balakirev.
"It's time for Russia to be great again. Time for Russia to reach for the stars."
Balakirev nodded, then turned to Kalnikov and said in Russian, "You can see why Halleck is so worried about this one."
Jordan understood every word.